In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
It's Coolest Conversations podcast time in Little Steven's Underground Garage, presented by Hard Rock. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. Today, we've got a very special Coolest Conversations for you. Recently, it was Cheap Trick Week here in the Underground Garage in honor of the band's new album, In Another World, which is their 20th studio full-length. The week culminated with me getting a chance to speak with both Robin Zander, the frontman and lead singer, as well as Rick Nielsen, the lead guitarist. First, I'll chat with Robin, and then my interview with Rick will follow. Now, we'll take a listen to some of Light Up the Fire, track off the new album, and then I'll be joined by Robin Zander for the first half of today's Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Manfred, and a high point of Cheap Trick Week here in Little Steven's Underground Garage is my chance to speak today with both Robin Zander and Rick Nielsen on our Coolest Conversations. So up first and joining me now is Robin, the band's lead singer and rhythm guitarist. How are you, Robin?
I'm well. How are you doing, Manfred?
I'm hanging in there, and I'm having a lot of fun this week, man. This is a very cool thing. Congratulations on Cheap Trick Week and your new album, In Another World, which is out today. Cheap Trick Week, just another feather in your cap alongside getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I'd imagine, right?
Well, you know, the Hall of Fame is what it is. We've waited a long time for that, you know. But
yeah.
No, it was one of those things where, you know, you're eligible after 25 years, and then you wait 5 years, and then you wait 10 years, then you wait 15 years, and finally you're just giving up and saying, screw it, who cares anyway? And then you get the phone call, and everything's forgiven.
And this week is all about Cheap Trick and your guys' journey and your music. Have you been enjoying Cheap Trick Week here in the Underground Garage?
It's my favorite channel.
Hey, you know, we spoke several years ago at the time you were living in Florida. Have you been holed up there in Florida over the past year?
Yes. You know, it's been something because Cheap Trick has never been off the road. It's sort of, I finally got to meet my wife.
Oh, man. And speaking of your wife and your family, you guys have all been able to stay healthy this whole while?
Yes, we have. I've been vaccinated and my wife has been vaccinated. So we're happy and, you know, but we're still taking precautions, you know.
Now, I don't think I've miscounted. I hope not anyway, but I'm pretty certain that In Another World is your 20th album, including the Christmas album. Is my count right about there, 20?
That's correct, yes.
Wow. So I was trying to think of a peer band, a band that started out around the same time as you that has had about as many albums. And as you said, you know, never been off the road, never been on any extended hiatus. I can't think of anybody. Can you?
Well... there's bands like Aerosmith,
right?
Around, they haven't made a record in a while. I don't think Steven put out something that was sort of like a country record, or at least it was on a label that was sort of a country-oriented label,
right?
Toured with that, but that's the only one that I can think of from those guys. No, I really can't think of anybody that's still out touring and making records. Which AC/DC. I think they take a hiatus every record. They take their tour and then they make a record, but they can afford to do it that way. But Alice Cooper also just put something out, I heard.
Yeah, I was thinking about Alice and like this Blue Oyster Cult, but there's the guys holding over from, you know, the from the late 60s. But you guys, you know, thinking of early 70s and the first album comes out in 77. Is that right? The first album was 77.
It came out in 77, February, and we immediately went on tour with Kiss.
What was that like playing with those guys?
Short and sweet. I think they gave us a half an hour to play or something like that, 40 minutes or something, and then we got out of there. But yeah, Uncle Gene, he was, you know, he came to see us in Max's Kansas City, New York City there. And he was, him and David Johansen were the only ones in the audience. But yeah, I remember it because he sat in the table right in front of the stage and threw a $100 bill on the stage, and Rick picked it up and ate it.
And so he ate it.
So Gene came back and asked us if we go on tour. Yeah, sure, we'll go on tour.
Oh, well. Well, let's talk some about the new album. When did you guys record it?
We recorded it about 2 years ago. Yeah. And, you know, we were going to release it about this time last year. But, you know, things happened and COVID came in and that was the end of it. And the record company said, let's postpone this, not knowing how long it was going to take.
Right.
Subside, and it still hasn't. So, but we're going to release it anyway because we're going out to Australia next month and we're going to be there for a month.
I saw those tour dates. Does that mean that you will have to go there and quarantine for 2 weeks before you can start your tour?
Correct. We'll go there and we'll hold up in our rooms for 2 weeks. But that'll give us a chance to, you know, discuss what we're going to do for the set.
Well, this guy, Julian Raymond, he produced the new album and he's worked with you guys. And, you know, as I was going back through the discography, I think since maybe 2006's Rockford. What's the story on Julian? How did you guys come in contact to him and why have you kept working with him?
Well, we knew Julian through Tom, and Tom had a band called In Another Language when he left Cheap Trick.
Okay.
And Julian was in that band. And, you know, I kept in touch with Tom during that period that he was gone and got to know Julian a little bit. In fact, we sat around and wrote some songs together and stuff like that. Fast forward, you know, it came time to do Rockford and we were without a producer. So we called him up and he wasn't, he was at the time working for a record company. I think it was Hollywood Records. Mm-hmm. And he also went to Capitol and worked there for a while, but we asked him to do the record and he did. And since then he sort of became a fifth band member. He's been with us since. He's a musician, a singer, a songwriter, and an overall good dresser.
Well, you mentioned his dress there. What describe him for us, this sharp dressed man?
He wears this cool hat all the time, and you know he's always got like a suit coat on, and his shoes are fantastic.
So you mentioned him being in a band with Tom. Is he a contemporary age-wise of you guys?
No, he's younger. Age-wise, he's younger, but I think he's got the same sort of influence musically that he loved the British Invasion, and that's sort of how, you know, we kind of caught on.
Does Julian ever play with you guys out live?
No. Yeah.
So he's in the George Martin role.
Yes, exactly.
So our coolest song in the world for the course of Cheap Trick Week is Light Up the Fire off of In Another World. So how did that song come together?
Light Up the Fire. Let's see. Yeah, Tom brought in an idea with a simple bass line and a guitar chord progression. And we wrote the rest of the song in the studio, except for the lyrics and melody, which I just took it home and put it down. It was pretty easy.
And the lyric there, how do you work in the rock and roll heaven thing?
Are you looking for hell or heaven or a hell of a time, that line?
That's it. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. It's like a great twist on the rock and roll heaven, a hell of a band sort of thing.
Yeah, that's, you know, we're a rock band and some of those lyrics have been used before, I guess. Somewhere, you know, there's a lot of, I think, up-tempo, high-energy rock stuff on this record. So
Oh, absolutely. You know, one thing I wanted to ask you about here, I know that Rick's son, Dax, has been on drums. But this particular album, I'm not sure if it's just this song, but I think maybe the whole album also features contributions from one of your sons, Robin Taylor Zander. He's on this particular song, right? Is he on the whole album?
Yeah, well, he plays with us, you know, he has for the last 3 years or so. He's been playing with us off and on. He it gives me a chance to put the guitar down and be Mick Jagger, I guess, you know. Robin Taylor Zander has just finished his own album. It's robintaylorzander.com. So go give it a listen. It's pretty cool.
Oh, great. Yeah, I was reading that, you know, he has a singer-songwriter career independent of the band.
Yes. We haven't done any of his songs yet, unfortunately, but, you know, it's maybe in the future.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he's a new guy. You're easing him in. That's cool. So, like years ago, to my band, we would play lots of shows, and it was like, you know, when I was married, it was like it took a couple of years for me actually to have spent more nights with my wife than you know, smelling these other guys' farts, which is to say that, you know, a band is another type of relationship and a family of sorts, and you guys certainly, you know, toured for many, many years, been together a long time. And that had me thinking about that, like a newlyweds game, and how a couple, they would take them apart and ask them questions, and then you would compare the answers afterwards. And since we got Rick coming up after you, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions to see if we could get you guys coming up with the same answers, given your long history together. And first one's a pretty easy one, like, what is Rick's favorite color?
Let's see, black and white checkerboard.
I should have been able to guess that myself, really. What's yours?
Black.
Okay, cool. Let's see another one here. What's something that he always brings on tour that's not a music instrument or a toiletry, or something that's like a good luck charm or a book?
Well, outside of a guitar, a music mag.
A music mag, okay. Is there anything you happen to bring always on tour?
I like to bring my computer.
All right. Well, on the new album, what would he say is his favorite song?
The one that didn't make the record.
Really? Is there any particular one?
I don't know. It didn't have a title yet.
Okay, though. No. How about you? What's your favorite one on the album?
Right now, Boys and Girls and Rock and Roll.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's sort of the day in the life of Cheap Trick.
Oh, yeah? Well, how so?
To me, it's a story about boys and girls and how they go to rock shows, you know, have fun.
Do you think boys and girls are still going to rock shows?
Not anymore. They haven't.
Well, right. The audience age at a Cheap Trick show, is it a real cross-section, do you think?
Yeah, it's a pretty good cross-section. You know, we get a lot of the children of Cheap Trick fans, and those kids have grown up with Cheap Trick, and they come to see our shows. And sometimes when I see a young kid out in the audience singing our lyrics, I bring them up on stage to sing along.
Oh, that's really cool. Now, my perspective for the word kid is kind of skewed now. I think of people in their 20s as pretty much being children. So when you say you bring a kid up on stage, are you actually talking about someone that's around 10 or 11, or just sort of a young adult?
No, around 10 or 11 is about.
Yeah, so a proper kid.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're right, you know, they're just a little weird.
So then one last one. I think this is the last question along this. You know, with like the newlyweds, they would ask them, like, what's the craziest place they'd ever made whoopee? And I figure that's not really applicable here. But I can ask you, though, like, out of all these Cheap Trick shows, is there anything that stands out, any gig that stands out as like the absolute weirdest, craziest, wackiest thing that you guys have ever done?
let's see. I played a wacky show once up in Colorado. And it was up in the mountains. I think it was Colorado or Utah or one of those mountainous states. And it was in the middle of winter. And we went up to the top of the mountain and There was this little band shell up there. I don't even know why it was there, but they had it set up for us to play. And as we are playing, people are skiing down the mountain. You know, they're on their snowmobiles all over the place. We had to take a snowmobile to get up there and play in the first place. But we're all in our gloves and our hats and our scarves and our big coats. And we did a show. That was kind of a weird place.
Wow. Was it hard to keep everything in tune?
Yeah, it was impossible. It just sounded horrible.
So, man, I hope that was a well-paying gig on the side of the mountain.
Ask Rick about that one. He was really fond of that show.
I will definitely ask him about that. In fact, we'll go over all these questions with him. You know, we're going to go to Rick in a moment, but in between, we're going to have a track, another cut off the album, Quit Waking Me Up, which I love. I think it's got this great jaunty kind of feel to it. What can you tell me about that track?
That track was a track that was written pretty much in the studio. Julian Raymond had a lot to say about that one. He loves the Beatles as well as we do, of course.
Yeah.
That he wanted to do something in honor of our influences. So that was it.
Oh, very cool. And so the lyrics for that song, did that come from you primarily?
Yeah, most of it did. It was about a one-night stand, I guess, or something like that.
All right, Robin, thanks so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations and for being in this band that has kept the whole world rocking for such a good while.
Well, we got more work to do, you guys.
Absolutely. But it's good work. So let's give a listen now to Quit Waking Me Up from Cheap Trick off the brand new album out today, In Another World. And I'll be back with Rick Nielsen as your Cheap Trick week continues here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
She leaves you wanting more. She'll just do it like there's nothing to it. The bedding's all over the floor. All around, all around, all around.
You're back with Mighty Manfred on our special Cheap Trick Week Coolest Conversations. We've already spoken with lead singer and rhythm guitarist Robin Zander, and now we turn our attention to the band's lead guitarist and primary songwriter, Rick Nielsen. How are you, Rick?
Manfred, great to hear you.
Hey, man, like I did with Robin, first let me offer you congratulations on Cheap Trick Week and the new album, In Another World, which is out today.
And that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Oh, fantastic. Well, very well deserved and well earned, man. I mean, you guys have been rocking the world for such a good while that anything we can do, and the new album is phenomenal.
Yeah, I'd say we just keep making records, and we're lucky that we get to do that. And the fact that you like it, that's the coup de grace.
Well, it was back in 2017 when you and I spoke last, so that was nearly 4 years ago. Where are you living these days?
I live in Illinois still. I haven't moved. Well, I actually haven't moved for the last year.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I was going to ask, you know, have you and your family been able to stay healthy this whole while?
Yeah. Healthy and getting our shots. And it took a while. We avoided anybody getting ill. And we tried to do the right thing.
Oh, great. And about the vaccinations, you've gotten both of your shots?
Yes.
Well, Robin told us some about the new album in general and working with Julian Raymond as producer again. We just came out of the track Quit Waking Me Up, which is on the new album, In Another World. What's the story on that tune?
Well, it reminds me of a kind of our interpretation of the 60s English pop song to me.
Yeah, it has a very jaunty feel to it is what I love about it.
Yeah. It has kind of a quirky little in the guitar trumpets in there. So
right. In fact, I was going to ask about that. I couldn't tell if that was like a synthesizer or a horn line or a keyboard kind of thing.
It's a horny synthesizer guitar line.
Well, who all was playing on that track?
Well, that's Robin, Tom, myself, and Dax. And I think maybe Julian probably played a little bit of an intro with us, too.
Okay. And is Robin's son on that track as well?
I believe so. You know, it's like we weren't all in the same room at the same time all the time. So if Robin gave you the player roster, then he probably has it tighter than I do.
So our coolest song in the world this week is Light Up the Fire. And Robin told us that Tom had brought in a bass part initially, and that kind of got the ball rolling, and that Robin came up with the lyrics. What can you add to that?
Well, yeah, the guitar part and the whole song, it just kind of fell together. And as we were doing it, reminded me of Happenings 10 Years Time Ago by the Yardbirds. I think it was the first song that Jimmy Page and Jeff Beck were both playing at once. Right. And Jeff did the solo. As it came to our solo, I started playing the guitar solo that was on Happenings 10 Years Time Ago. My voice sounds like I got a bad pedal on it, but if you go back and listen, it's an homage to one of my favorites.
You know, there's a really wide range of emotions throughout the album, and a couple of extra touching moments to me are So It Goes, an acoustic number, and especially I'll See You Again. I assume these songs date from prior to the pandemic, right? You had recorded
them. Yes, but the sequence came in during the pandemic.
Okay, and given that so many folks have had to deal with loss this past year, and, you know, sadly, that will continue on for a while yet, I think the songs have extra resonance, especially I'll See You Again.
Yeah, well, that was when we were recording, Julian's brother-in-law, who was a Cheap Trick fan, and he passed away. Julian brought up the idea, you know, it's like an emotional kind of someone passing. So I didn't even know that it was going to be in the sequence of what we're doing. So it was like actually every track was kind of done not knowing what our sequence was and knowing what was going to be on this record. So it's like when we added that, it was like, yes, the emotional time. And like you said, Manfred, you understood it in your way, and we interpreted it our way too. So
right. Why did you guys cover the John Lennon tune, Give Me Some Truth?
Well, for the past 4 or 5 years, at least everybody in our band, we were looking for some truth. It's like you didn't know who to believe in. Well, I kind of did, but we were getting the fake news and this interpretation, and these people griping about this, and it was just like a cacophony of noise and non-truth. And so it was like the John Lennon lyrics were kind of apropos to how we felt about what was going on. And since we're not like a real political band, let's have John Lennon explain it.
Or I was about to say, you're right. You guys, you know, aren't really a political band. So that's about the most political statement that you guys have had, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's our way of saying it. I mean, we're political when we're together and traveling and, you know, voicing our opinions. But, you know, going out publicly, it's like, that's just not our forte. So it's like, like I said, if people give John Lennon the credit and the blame for whatever. It was just like John hit it right on the head, hit the nail on the head. And so when we did it, then we were doing Jonesy's Jukebox, not necessarily going to play that song, but we were playing with Steve Jones in the studio. And we played with him before. We were in a different studio, and we did some Sex Pistols songs with him, which he reluctantly kind of, I don't know if he wanted to do it or not, but we knew him, so we started playing the stuff with him. And then here's a number of years later, when Robin and I are back in the studio, and we were just playing, and Steve kind of has that guitar technique like we do, or I do, or Robin does. And we noticed it on the Sex Pistols record, so, and we just started playing, and he started playing along. Uh-huh. And we said, hey, Steve, and it was Robin and myself, both of us agreed with it. How would you like to play on a record? Yeah. Okay, so hey, calm down. and then we sent him out the tracks, and he put his stuff on there, and it was cool having him on there with us.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Well, you know, I mentioned we had Robin on an earlier, and I was thinking about, you know, the time you guys have been together, and that reminded me of when my band had been playing a lot of shows a few years ago, and there was it was probably several years before I had spent more time with my wife than I had with the band. And then that had me thinking about like the newlywed game and how they would take couples and separate them and ask them questions and then compare the answers afterwards. And Robin was game for me doing something like that, asking him some questions about what he thought your answers would be. And we'd like to see if your answers match. First up is an easy one. What is Robin's favorite color?
Robin's colorblind, so I don't know that he has a favorite color.
Oh, okay. Well, now he did not mention that. He did give a color, though.
Yeah, well.
What was your guess?
Blue.
Okay, good guess. Black. He said black.
Well, okay.
There was no hesitation when I said, what is Rick's favorite color? What do you think he said? Yes. That's right. Robin got that. So what is something that you bring on tour that's not a musical instrument, a toiletry, but just something that you've always brought on tour, maybe even a good luck charm or a book or.
Well, I always bring my computer. So.
Oh, that's okay. That's your answer. The computer. What would you think that, what Robin said?
His wife.
No, he said his computer.
Oh, geez. Well,
right.
You're asking me like I was had to give a different answer.
He was stumped about what you would bring. And it's funny that you said computer because that's the first thing he thought of for himself. But he said you would be likely to bring a music magazine. Is that true? When's the last time you brought a music magazine with you?
I'm sitting in this room where I'm sitting. I've got about 10 different. I've got vintage guitar. I've got guitar player. I've got Cream magazine. I've got all these guitar books. Burst Believers. I have all five of them in a row here.
Well, so he wasn't so far off, right?
No,
yeah,
no.
That's still pretty good.
The first one threw me off because.
Well, so thinking about the new album. So, what is your favorite song on the new album?
There's stuff I like on about. You know, I don't know if I can rank them, but you know, I also like the Here Comes the Summer. There's a good rock song. Summer Looks Good on You. It was the very first one.
Oh, the Summer Looks Good on You. Yeah. Well, you want to guess what his favorite song on the album is?
No idea.
Boys and Girls. Boys
oh,
and
really?
Girls, rock and roll. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well.
And you want to know what his guess for you was?
Let's see. No. Yes. What?
I said, what do you think Rick's favorite song in the album is? And he said, one that didn't make it to the album.
There you go. Couple of those.
Right. Well, so he gave me a pretty great answer for this next one. And let's see if you have the same one. What's the weirdest or craziest show you've ever done?
We've done 6,000 shows.
Right.
Well, we did a birthday party for... Well, actually, Little Steven was there in New York City. We did a birthday party for the guy from the president of Sirius. Keith Richards was there. Michael Douglas and his wife. And here they are standing out looking at us. What are you guys doing here? And what are we doing there? And they asked us to do like some of the songs that we used to do when we were playing the clubs.
Uh-huh.
We did Rebel Rebel. And that's what... had us, they heard the version, they asked us if we would go do a version, then we went out and met with Jack Douglas and re-recorded Rebel Rebel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was Michael Douglas and his wife, Little Steven, like I said, Keith Richards, you know, it's all these people that we normally wouldn't be seeing at a show.
I mean, right.
Steven, yes, because he showed up for a bunch of stuff of ours, but that was kind of a... It wasn't like a weirdo show, but it was just weird surroundings for us.
Well, the show that Robin had mentioned was that you guys had played a show in Colorado on top of a mountain.
Oh, yeah. Park City, Utah, it was.
Pretty cold up there, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it was Park City, Utah. It was played and it was snowing like crazy. And they had us elevated. It was like freezing cold out there. It was, I think it was sponsored by Chevy or something like that. So there's a car on this elevated stilts kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, it wasn't Colorado. It was Park City, Utah.
But it was up on a mountain for sure.
Oh, yeah. And it was cold. It was like on a ski slope.
That's what he said. They were like folks skiing around you.
Yeah.
And so I asked him, keeping things in tune must have been really hard.
Yeah, well, I haven't tuned a guitar in over 40 years. So it's like, I leave it to somebody that's professional.
I hear you. Well, thinking about, first of all, thanks for entertaining me there and answering me those questions. You guys are pretty close, you know, kind of like those couples that sometimes you see them sitting eating together and not saying anything because, you know, they already know what the answers are, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thinking about playing out, I'm wondering if, you know, you guys have always done so many shows. You couldn't do shows, you know, for the past year. Has that left you really chomping at the bit, or has that been, you know, a surprised welcome rest?
Well, a little of each. You know, to me, the worst part about it was when is this going to end, or is it going to end? The anticipation of what the future will hold, or what, you know, are we ever going to play again? It's like the song on the album, "If I Ever See You Again, Am I Ever Going to Play Again?"
Yeah.
And plus, in a way, it was, and people said, "Oh, Rick, you know, write all these great songs." I find it quite uninspiring to be off without knowing what the future holds.
Yeah.
Like we never know that, but this way it was like a non-self-induced what's happening to us in the future. But I actually got to know my family and my kids and my grandkids better than if had I been on the road all the time. I mean, it's like, so that part was good, but we're still apart all the time, you know. But I did get to actually know all my kids and all my grandkids' names too, you know. So. And my wife, I think. What's her name?
Well, it seems like you've kind of got the touring thing sort of beat here by going to Australia. You're heading down there at the end of end of the month to Australia. So when you go in there, though, you're going to be quarantined for like 2 weeks before you go out on the road, right?
Really? I hadn't heard that. Just kidding. But it's, you know, it's worth it, I guess, to get out there. I mean, I think we're like the first group, along with STP and Bush, to go out and tour. It's like the first the people from Australia. They're all wound up about, you know, actually having music again, and so are we. So it's like it should be interesting.
Well, I love the idea here that the rock and roll band that is always playing, that they get to be the first out of the gate. You know what I mean? You get down.
Yeah, yeah.
That's perfect.
I think this might be a new era. You know, people might, you know, having a new record out and a new tour and a new world opening up. This could be interesting. We
it
still
will
can't
be.
Dance. We still probably couldn't win on American Idol, but we're a cheap trick. So here we go.
Absolutely. And speaking of the album, we're going to go out with another track off of it. Here's Looking at You. Now that's my favorite on the album. How did that song come together? Here's Looking at You.
I don't know. I'm not sure how it started. I'd have to go back and do a bit of research on it. I mean, but it's like how any song starts. Someone's got an idea.
Right.
And we try to flush the idea out or flesh it out. I don't know, flush it out or flesh it out.
Either way.
We try to flush and flesh. So I'm always constantly kind of writing stuff, too. So it's like my wife says, Rick, the F word. Oh, really? No. Finish the song.
Well, Rick, thanks again. Speaking of finishing, thanks again for joining me today on our Coolest Conversations and making our Cheap Trick Week so special.
Wow, cool. Thank you for indulging us.
Oh, man. You know, like I said, you guys are, I want to say institution, but I don't mean that in a staid way at all, right?
Well, my grandfather used to run the Dixon State Mental Hospital, so I know what an institution is.
No. But let's say an inspiration.
The
music continues and the songs continue and the feeling is, you know, timeless, right? I mean, it's rock and roll, the quintessential rock.
We love to play and we love the fact that we get to make records and I get to play with who I think is the greatest rock and roll singer around. You know, a guy that I always wanted to work with, I'm still working with him. It's pretty darn lucky. And having Tom and now Dax, and it's like, and all our fans around the world, it's like, this is cool. Can't wait to get out there and see and play to everybody.
Absolutely. Let's take a listen now to Here's Looking at You off the brand new album out today, In Another World. It's Cheap Trick here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
You stepped out over my head. You didn't stop to notice.
That was Here's Looking at You, brand new Cheap Trick, off their 20th studio album, In Another World. This is the Mighty Manfred, and big thanks to both Robin Zander and Rick Nielsen for being my guests today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast, and join me next time when I'll speak with Andy Chernoff, founding member of the seminal proto-punk band The Dictators. He and the original two other members, Ross the Boss and Scott Kempner, have reformed the group, and we'll find out all about it on your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.